Welcome to Trial Lawyer View, a podcast for and about trial lawyers. We tell the stories about trial lawyers who go to battle every day in courtrooms throughout the United States for injury victims. This is about their stories and their practices. Trial Lawyer View is brought to you by Synergy Settlement Services. Synergy allows trial lawyers to focus on what they do best by handling the difficult issues that arise in settlement, like troublesome lien resolution issues, Medicare secondary payer compliance, government benefit preservation techniques, and complex settlement consulting. Without further delay, here's another episode of Trial Lawyer View with Patrick Wooten.
Welcome to the Trial Lawyer View podcast. In today's episode, I get the opportunity to chat with Patrick Wooten, the managing partner and chief operating officer for Richard Schwartz & Associates Injury Lawyer PA. With over 25 years of experience in the legal field and a background in military service, Patrick brings a wealth of knowledge and leadership to his role. As a managing partner and COO, he oversees the firm's day-to-day operations, balancing his legal expertise with strategic management to drive success. Today, we delve into his unique law firm insights and his management tips for personal injury law firms coming from his years of experience. Patrick, welcome to Trial Lawyer View. Thank you for taking the time to be here with me today.
No, absolutely. I appreciate you having me, Jason. I'm excited to be part of the podcast series.
So you're the managing partner and CEO of the firm. Given your extensive military background and leadership experience, because you've got some pretty impressive awards for your service to our country, how has that shaped your approach to leadership and management within the law firm?
That's a great question. And not only do I have a military background, my family has got an extensive military background. So I just feel like it runs through my veins. My father's a West Point graduate. I have an uncle who's a West Point graduate. My sister was active duty. Brother-in-law was active duty. Cousins, I mean, across the board for the last, you know, six plus decades, there's been a Wooten or an offshoot of a Wooten who served in the military. So it's just second nature to me. And I really think that helped me through my 24 years in the Mississippi Army National Guard through two deployments. And what's fun is I started as an armor officer, kind of take a sidebar, started as armor officer commanding tanks. So I had a tank platoon. So I'm in charge of, you know, the awesome men that served in four tanks that are within a tank platoon. So you have that camaraderie and that experience. And then 8 years into my military career, had a general officer who approached me, who was the commander of the unit I was in, and said, "Hey, Wooten, you're a lawyer. I've got a JAG opening," which is the Army Lawyers. "Wouldn't you like to be an Army lawyer?" And so thought about it and prayed about it and branch transferred to JAG and got some amazing experiences. But it's really the totality of those two things. One, from being a combat arms officer and being on the ground with my guys, there training and going through all of that and those experiences, because all those folks came from different backgrounds, different socioeconomic situations from across Mississippi, and we had some from outside of Mississippi. So, A, it helped me just learn people, you know, how to get along with anybody, how to lead anyone, you know, how you have to. Sometimes person A may need this to get motivated. Person B may need this to get motivated. So it really helped. And I think ultimately when we made the switch and I got appointed as COO in April of 2019, a lot of that military background is what led Richard, who founded the firm, to making the decision to appoint me. We have other partners who are amazing. Wouldn't trade any other partners in the firm for this world. And they are extremely talented attorneys and wonderful leaders. And I count on their support and their help every single day. But it was, I think, my military background and going through, which separated me and was one of the big reasons why Richard chose me a little over 5 years ago.
Well, thank you for your service to the country. It's such an incredibly important function. It's funny. I actually tried, when I was in law school, applied for Navy JAG, which
I won't hold that against.
Yeah.
I won't hold
I'm sure. But, you know, it was around the time of A Few Good Men. And ironically, I got bounced because I had hypertension, of all things, which I never quite understood. But probably it was just that wasn't my path for whatever reason. But it was
two of my best friends in law school. One was coming out from the Air Force. The Air Force was putting him through the law school program. And then another friend of mine was a Marine, and he was going into the JAG Corps afterwards. So I had two of my buddies who wound up going that route post law school graduation. But it's just such a wonderful background, I think, for what you have chosen to do. And it's what I wanted to ask you about, because your firm is very unique, at least the law firms I've come across, having a manager partner who is its COO. And how did you all decide that this was a necessary position within the firm?
Yeah, that's thankfully we've been blessed. I've been here, come July 1 will be 24 years that I've been at the firm. And actually last month was 30 years that I've been an attorney. And we've just had tremendous growth. The firm's been around for 42 plus years, and we've just grown not only in the number of people, but in the number of locations. And so just through that growth and through that maturation of the firm, and through actually doing a culture study, we made the determination in the fall of 2018 that we wanted to do a survey of all our team members to just get their feel. You know, how do you feel about the firm? How do you feel about the job? How do you feel about how we have the management structure set up? Benefits, pay, holidays, vacation, you name it. It was an extensive culture survey that we did. First one we've ever done in the history of the firm. And it was enlightening, needless to say, because as I mentioned before, there's multiple partners. And at that time, we kind of chopped up the pie. It was partner A had this, partner B had this, partner C had this. And so there was some overlap between departments, which just ultimately created confusion for our team members. That they, if they had a question, they're like, who do I go to? Who's ultimately the decision maker in the process? And so through that culture survey of looking at it and going, oh my gosh, you know, the biggest issue we have is our folks don't know who's ultimately in charge. You know, if there's a problem, who do they need to go to? So based on that, we actually hired an outside consulting company who came in and took that culture survey and talked to a cornucopia of people at the firm, lawyers, team members, people who'd been here a year, people who'd been here 15 years, and took all their conversations and topics and notes and came back and created a report and just said, hey, it's the leadership of the firm. People feel like there's a vacuum of leadership within the firm because they don't know who's ultimately in charge, because person A may think they're in charge, person B may think they're in charge. So based on their recommendation and that culture survey, Richard made the determination, hey, we're going to have one COO. We have our CFO who's been here for a long time and does a tremendous job. But we're going to appoint one of you all as the COO, and ultimately chose me, which was challenging back in the day, having a full caseload a little over 5 years ago. So trying to manage a caseload and learn the roles and what was going to transpire within that, you know, that position as COO, and going from my smaller area of focus to now let's look at the 30,000 foot view of the firm to make sure that I've got the big picture, so that we can continue to march forward every day and achieve, you know, positive results for the people within this building and the other buildings of our firm, but more importantly for our clients, to make sure that client service is the number one concern that each of us have every day.
So do you still have the same type of caseload, or have you reduced that, or is it gone altogether because of the responsibilities in terms of the operational management of the firm?
Yeah, that's a great question. It took a while to actually pare it down. When I became COO, I had about 200 cases that I was working. So it was crazy. I actually have 12. I have 12 cases in my name, which is kind of what I generally keep it out now. And those are, I laugh. We talked about my military connection. One of them is actually a guy who was in my armor unit that I'm representing. So those are typically cases where I have a direct connection to the individual and they want me to represent them on a case, or there's something maybe odd or quirky about the case. And so sometimes I'll get involved in those just to lend a helping hand.
So can you talk through your primary responsibilities in managing the day-to-day operations of the firm and how do you manage the KPIs around success of that?
Yeah. So I like to say each day is the same, but each day is also different because you never quite know what's going to come across your desk or what phone call I'm going to get or what email am I going to receive. But, you know, just on an everyday basis, you know, the basics that you're always looking at is how many calls you're getting, how many cases you're signing up, of course, how many fees are we putting in the bank? How is our client? Are we having issues with clients? I have a wonderful client relations specialist, and she does an amazing job. So if you have a client that seems to be disgruntled for any reason, she goes to her and she's like the client whisperer. She does a fabulous job, you know, and really the key is I've got a great team. I mean, we're very fortunate. Like I talked about, our CFO has been at the firm for a number of years. You know, there are four other partners who do a tremendous job. And going back, I started my career in an insurance defense firm. So I was used to being an associate and I reported to partner A. So when I became COO, I actually created teams. So each partner has associates that are on their team. So they're able to interact with those associates and kind of be able to help guide, you know, guide them. And then I only have to step in if there's, you know, is there an issue related to employment or is there just something crazy that's out there? So it really is taking them, taking my marketing team, our accounting team, my call center director, the other department supervisors that I have. You know, I have learned that it's all about the people. If I, you know, I've got to have not just bodies, but I got to have the right bodies and the right people. And I've got the best people we have in the history of the firm that are the department supervisors and then our team members. I do not like using the word staff. They're not staff. They're team members. We preach Team Schwartz here. You know, we are all trying to row the boat in the same direction on a daily basis. Because if the right side's rowing it forward and the left side's rowing it backwards, well, then we're just going in circles, which means we're not going anywhere. So I have learned over my 5 years, the key is the people within the five buildings that we encompass across the state of Mississippi, that you're going to sink or swim with them. So we've been, myself and our HR director have been extremely intentional with who we have hired over the 5 years since I became, COO. We've had some strikes. We've struck out a few times. It's definitely not a, you know, it's not easy. And some people who he and I walk out going, man, they're going to be amazing. You know what? They end up crash and burn. And then other people that we kind of took a flyer on, but he and I both had a feeling. It's like, look, they look like they're moldable. They, you know, look like they want to work. He knows if my HR director walked in right now and I said, Steve's his name. I said, what's everyone's best ability? Well, it's availability. That's what it is. You know, with the size of the firm we have, being the biggest personal injury firm in Mississippi, you've got to be here every day. Because we're very blessed that the cases come in every day, the calls come in every day. If you're in our medical records department, you're getting medical records and bills every single day. So you miss a day and that's okay. I want people to take vacation and I want people to have fun, but you've got to be, if you're not sick or not on vacation, man, I need you here at the firm 40 hours a week because we're very blessed that thousands of folks put their trust in us every single day.
Well, you're definitely speaking my language, the idea of team synergy. We talk that's how we talk about our team. We have a director of people and culture because that to me sends a message about the importance of our people. And yeah, I continually talk to them about our mission and the importance of who we serve, because like you, we're serving the injured party and making sure that they're protected and for people to understand the importance of their work, why they need to be here each day, working as hard as they possibly can on behalf of those we serve. And it's such an important thing that I think all too often is overlooked, the power of that culture and, you know, the messages that you send in terms of even how you refer to people that are part of your team. Like you said, talking about them as employees, that, I mean, all the people here are people I work with, everyone I work with here in my role. It's, I don't direct them. They're not below me. They're people I work with.
That's right. Exactly. Well, I laugh. Like my door's closed right now because I'm sitting in my office. So I actually put a big sign on the door that it's like on a call being recorded. Please don't disturb. But that is so rare. Like, I keep my door open 99% of the time, unless I'm in having a private meeting in my office with one of my department supervisors or one of the other partners, and it's something that has to be confidential. My door stays open, and people understand I want you coming in and out of my office, you know, every single day. Just like I like getting up out of my office and walking around and asking, how's your day going? What's going on? You know, I have quarterly departmental supervisor meetings. You know, tell me, it's like, tell me, what can I do? What's an issue you're having? And I have monthly ones with the departments, but then I get them all together as well, because I want each department to hear from each other. And it's like sharing that information. It, you know, to me, the information, it's not top down, it's not bottom down. It's like, I want it flowing everywhere. I want it coming from, you know, every direction, whether you're trying to get me an accident report, well, what can we do to be better to help you with that? Or whether you're in our mail room and you're scanning mail, what can I help you with that? Is that we've got to have it from the trenches all the way up to Richard, who founded the firm. I want that information flowing in constantly to me from everybody, because that allows me to see the picture from all angles. And that's the key. You can't just look at a picture from one way. You have to look at it from multiple angles to be able to get the entire depth and breadth of that picture to make the right decision to be able to move forward.
I'm curious, you know, since a law firm is a business just like any other, but there are some realities. Being a lawyer myself, I know from, I've actually got a law practice that's separate from this. So I know my thinking is a bit differently in my law practice because I'm providing services to clients. I'm curious how you balance, because of your, you know, knowledge of the practice, being a lawyer, along with the realities of running a business, because you can't run a law firm just like a practice and expect it to be a successful business endeavor. But you've got all these personalities too that you manage, I would imagine, in your firm, in terms of the lawyers who may not always view through the lens of this is a business. But it sounds, although admittedly, like how you've described it, you guys have figured out that balance. I'm curious how you achieve that.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is always communication. And I'm going to, you know, it gets back to communicating. When I first became COO 5 years ago, that was probably one of my shortcomings, is I was not as great as communicating if we were making a change or we're thinking about making a change, to get in all those voices and share. And so I've learned through trial and error, the key is communicating the why. Whether it's, I have an associate who's been with us for, you know, 6 months. I mean, I've got someone, a paralegal, who starts next Monday, or whether it's, you know, some of our associates who've been with us for 16 years, is getting them to understand the why. Is, hey, we've done it this way for all these years, but I am contemplating making a change, or I am making a change, and here's the why behind why I'm making that change. And then I've learned it's really getting buy-in. We changed case management systems a couple of years ago. We'd been with one for 20 years, and it just became antiquated, so we had to go to another one. So before I ever made that switch, I had multiple people in the firm get on the demos with the one I was leaning toward and say, give me your thoughts. What do you like? What don't you like? And then when we ultimately made the decision to switch, even as we were going through the process of being able to integrate that into the firm, I had all of them involved. So it's kind of like marriage. It's communication, and it's explaining the why of what you did. And then the same thing is having fun. It's a tough, you just said it, Jason, you have a law firm. It's stressful. You know, you come in and you're seeing a case where someone was killed in an auto accident, or you see someone who had a slip and fall and had a terrible compound fracture of your leg. So people are calling us at times at some of the most devastating times in their life. So it can be stressful and can weigh on you. So you've got to, at the same point, have fun. I mean, I laugh. Like, I love sweets. So like Friday's National Donut Day. So we're going to have donuts all at the firm. We're going to a minor league baseball game. We actually had a firm cruise, a 4-night cruise in April, where anyone in the firm could go on it that the firm paid for. So, you know, you have the mix of focusing on the mission every day, but you got to sprinkle in the fun. You got to have a good time and get it to where people can get to know each other and celebrate the victories of, hey, Sally's son just graduated high school, or, you know, we have a person who worked for us whose daughter was on the team that won the 7A softball state championship. I mean, that's amazing, you know. And then we have the sad times of a parent died or someone's sibling died. You know, you've got to be there to support each other in those times as well. And it really just gets to the basics. I mean, that's what I've learned in this job is be approachable, communicate the why with everybody, whether it's someone who's been with you for a day or somebody who's been with you for 16 years. And they're not always going to agree. That's the one thing I've learned. I've made decisions that not everyone agrees with. Now, I think the majority have panned out and have been positive for the firm. But if they can at least understand why you're making that decision so that you don't have the whole background of the gossip and the backfighting and, oh, that's a terrible decision, then it does help keep everyone rowing in the boat the same way.
Great advice. Your firm has grown a lot over the years. Mm-hmm. What are the top five key factors that you think have contributed to the success and growth of your firm? And yeah, how have you then looked at that in terms of your role as CEO of the firm to keep that rolling? Because I assume that, you know, continuing to serve more people is part of, you know, you're at least that's for me, what drives me is that, you know, how do we serve more people? It's the growth that allows for that by delivering on our promise.
Yeah, I think it started, I mean, years ago, we actually put together a core group of team members and came up with guiding principles that outline what we are as a firm and what we're striving to do every day. Now, I've simplified those down and go back to my military days. And so when we hire a new team member, generally I get the opportunity to speak to them when they're here going through their training process. And I say, look, we've got wonderful guiding principles. I want you to learn them. I want you to follow them. But really they're boiled down to this. It's mission first, people always. That's what it is. You have a mission every single day to come into this office to help our clients and to help and support your team members. And then the people always is, it's A, the people within our building. Let's love and support and care for each other. But let's love and support, you know, the people who put their trust and confidence in us. Because in my 24 years, the number of lawyers who advertise on TV and have billboards and are on the radio has just expanded unbelievably. I mean, every day it's like, gosh, there's someone new. And so people have more options than they've ever had to be able to go hire somebody. And so we've got to be very intentional with how we are treating our clients, you know, treating them with respect and dignity and care. I had one the other day and it actually really resonated with me. They're like, I know I have a little case and y'all have lots of cases. And it's like, no, every case is important, but it's to that client has one case. Yes, we're blessed that we have thousands of cases, but that one case is just as important as any other case within the firm, whether it's a $1,000 case or whether it's a $4 million case, you know, that everyone deserves because they were hurt. They deserve justice. They deserve to be compensated for their injuries. So that's one, you know, I've really tried to instill that when it comes to mission first, people always is, let's treat folks the way they want to be treated. They call, you want to return that phone call. They ask a question. Yeah, we've done it for whether you've been a lawyer for 30 years or whether you've been a paralegal for 10 years or whether you've worked in my medical department for a year. You got your job down. You know how to do it. But guess what? That person with one case who's never had a car accident doesn't understand the process. They don't know why they got released yesterday. Well, why hasn't the insurance company made an offer today? You know, explain to them that we've got to get all those medical bills and medical records. The attorney's got to review all those. We've got to create the demand letter. You know, there's a process to it. So it's just helping to educate our clients so that they simply understand the why behind everything. So that's kind of the first two. Treating team members well, treating your clients well is absolutely vital. The other thing I've learned, and third, because you asked for five, it's under promise and over deliver. I think that's so important is, you know, don't be it. And I've done it in my 30-year career where you talk to a client and they ask you a question and you're like, okay, I'll call you back tomorrow. Well, you don't call them back tomorrow. Maybe you call them 2 days later or 3 days later because you got busy, you got hit with a summary judgment motion you didn't see coming or something of that nature. So, you know, under promise, over deliver to people. Because I've never had a client complain when I hand them a check for more than I told them they were getting. So that's, you know, that's a nice thing. It's great to see that smile when they say, hey, you told me I was going to get $20,000. This says I'm getting $22,000, even though the settlement's the same because you took the time to go get their medical bills reduced. Or we worked with your fabulous company and they've gotten a lien waived or a lien significantly reduced, which you've done for us so that you're able to put more money in that injured, you know, person's pocket, which is what you're trying to do, because that's how the civil justice system works, is we can't put them back to how they were 10 seconds before the accident ever happened. So we have to give them, you know, dollars to compensate them for what they went through. I think the other key in the growth is just constantly looking to modernize. It's unreal how technology changes. You see it every day. It's whether it's our phone system, whether it's our computer system, our case management system, all of that. You've got to, if you're not adapting, you are losing ground. You have to constantly, you know, adapt. It's like going back to the military. We don't use a one-shot musket anymore. You know, we have M16s, we have M1A12 tanks. I mean, it's that equipment's modernized, so you just have to do the same thing. You have to continually modernize. Clients want to be able to text you. They want to be able to email you. You know, there's so many different things. It doesn't just want to be telephone centric. So they've got to have ways of communicating with clients that just opens up, you know, the opportunity for them to reach out. Cause you may get that client who wants to say something at 2 a.m. Well, they know they can't call you at 2 a.m, but they can text in or they can send you an email. So that's really, really important, is what you got. And then the last one is giving back to the people in the communities who put their trust in you. I love that one of our tenets is charitable involvement, giving back. And it, you know, it can be something very small to, we've had some really big charity things, but I think giving back so that people realize we are a fabric of Mississippi, we are part of Mississippi. And I love getting to go. One of my favorite things we do is in the fall is go do Halloween safety talks to schools across Mississippi and give out reflective Halloween bags. I mean, those are so much fun. Just seeing those elementary school kids and getting to talk to them, and they come by and they're giving you high fives or you're getting hugs from them, is just great. Cause it's like, you, as the statistics show, Halloween is one of the deadliest days of the year for children under the age of 12. So, and I, you know, that's a great time. You know, we support teachers. We're involved in teacher awards. We're involved in a lot of animal things. Make-A-Wish we do. I love those activities. I love when we're out in the community and getting to see people and support the communities in which these clients live. And they realize that when they hire us, it's not like, oh, they're just chasing the dollar. No, we're going to turn around and take those dollars that we've collected on your behalf and that we get a portion of and give back to you and give back to the people of Mississippi, because they're the ones who have blessed us and allowed us to become the law firm we are.
It's all really powerful advice. And it's funny how much of that aligns with us. What really spoke to me is this mission and people, because every person that joins this company, I onboard with a presentation about our mission, mm-hmm. and, you know, about our values. And in the mission part, I talked to them about what happened to me, because I was struck by a car when I was cycling. And so I've been through a personal injury case, and I know how personal it is, and I know the impact of that. And I really want our team to always understand how important it is, who we serve, which is that, and then what matters most, which are the people that we help. And that people starts mm-hmm. with our team. And as you talked about, treating each other with respect, dignity, empathy, you know, all those, which are part of our corporate values as well. I think that is such a powerful thing in motivating and coalescing a team around performing, because they understand why their work means so much too, because, you know, money only goes so far, to giving satisfaction. It's also feeling that, knowing that you're part of something that's really helping people.
No, you're exactly right. It's, I mean, we're fortunate. Your company is amazing. So, I mean, I have no doubt you pay your folks very well. And I'm glad we're able to give the pay and the benefits we give to people. But, you know, what I hear from them is not when they get a bonus or they, you know, we have donuts, which I'm really excited about donuts, or we did pretzel day or all this, which are fun. It's fun just to see people come in and get to interact. But it's when you hear the stories and like, oh my gosh, you know, Mr. Jones called me because we settled his case and said he's so happy because he's going to be able to do, you know, do this. I got a thank you note last month from a client, you know, who was not somebody I knew. So it wasn't a personal referral, but they literally wrote a thank you note back saying thank you to all the team, you know, the team that did that. So it's the key. You hit the point on the head. You're helping our clients. That's what, you know, Synergy does. You're helping our clients. So it's being focused that we're there helping them in their time of need. I tell every client, I hope you never have another wreck. I hope you are one and done with having to hire us to be your law firm. You know, that you don't go through it all. Now, if you do, and I do, I've got the greatest guy ever. I've represented him seven times. He's the sweetest guy around. Love that guy. He's so sweet. You know, and that just gets to, you know, treating people the way you are, but it's just being so hyper-focused on each client and them understanding that they matter, because that's what everyone wants. They want to know that they matter. They want to know that you care about them, you're fighting for them. And a lot of it is educating them how the process works, no different than what you're doing and trying to get people to understand, you know, when you're trying to get a health insurance policy, is ERISA, is it not ERISA? I mean, all that crazy stuff that you guys are experts at, which thank goodness you're out there. But it's educating because they don't understand. I mean, I have conversations every day. I'm sure you've had conversations every day when they're like, why do I have to pay back my health insurance company? You know, why doesn't the other insurance company, they've offered me X? Well, shouldn't they have to then just cut a different check to them? So a lot of it just gets to education so that people understand, because it's confusing. The law is confusing. I talk about it's a jigsaw puzzle. It's a jigsaw puzzle that, A, the pieces are sitting upside down on each of our desks. And we're trying to put together the picture a lot of times with the pieces upside down and then get that complete, final, beautiful thing and show it to the insurance company and say, here's the picture. This is what your insurer did. This is why you owe Betty or John or Sally this much money because of the negligence of your client, and you are doing it on battling with health insurance as to, hey, this is why you all need to waive it or reduce it, because Betty, Sally, or John are not being made whole and they shouldn't be the one to bear the brunt. You multi-million dollar company, you should be the one to be able to take it on the chin.
So I wanted to ask you about KPIs. Do you have top three KPIs that you use to view the operational health of your firm?
Yeah, I got a lot more.
Yeah, I figured.
I get a bunch. I've got a fabulous team that provides me numbers. I actually a year ago hired a data analyst who, she gives me more reports. I chuckled. We were walking out yesterday together and I said, man, you just keep filling up my inbox every day, but the reports are amazing. So, but kind of on a daily basis, because there's things you look at kind of on a monthly basis. Then there's things I look at on a quarterly basis and semi-annual, but on a daily basis, you know, they're simple things. It's how many calls are coming in, how many cases are we signing? Because to me, that's a direct reflection of a couple things. A, what service are we providing? How are we treating people, and kind of what's the word in the community? And also, are our commercials resonating, and how's our marketing team doing? How are those dollars being spent? With the caveat of, I've learned in 5 years, those things are direct. The higher gas prices there are, guess what? Your calls are going to go down because people drive less. If we have a drought like we had in Mississippi late last summer and well into the fall, there was a lot less rain. So your calls go down because there's fewer accidents because of a lack of rain. So you kind of have to learn, you know, where some caveats as to why your numbers. But I look at that throughout the day. And thankfully I have the ability to do that. So the number of calls we're getting, the type of calls based on what sort of case, what do we want? How many cases do we want? How many are we actually signing? So I look at that on a daily basis. As we've talked about, we're a business, you're a business. So I'm looking at dollars. How many cases are we dispersing? How many checks came in? How much do we make in fees? That's kind of a normal thing to look at every day, just to realize where we are monetarily. But then one that people may not realize is Google reviews and internal reviews. I love looking at those because we ask our clients throughout the process of give us a Google review. And I'm proud to say, you know, we're 4.8, 4.9, 5.0 in our markets. And I love the ones when they're like, this person did a great job. But the ones that are negative, those are the ones that really I focus on, because it's like, how did we not meet your expectation? Now, some just clearly I'm like, okay, we didn't take your case. So I don't know why you're bashing us, and you have to have a conversation with the person. But I think one of the most interesting things we do is when we disperse a case, and this is a little old school, this goes against my modernize everything. We still hand every client a paper survey with a 1 through 5 scale with a dozen questions. And then there's a space for them to write, you know, notes or narratives if they want to. And to me, those are the most interesting, because it's, you know, how were you treated when you first called? So it's taking them through the process. So our call center, how did they do? How did our insurance department do? You know, how was your attorney? How was your claims assistant? How was your paralegal if you had to deal? Some are not A, because you may not deal with the paralegal if you don't have to file suit. You know, were you happy with the settlement? How quickly were your phone calls returned within 48 hours? Kind of, and it's 1 through 5. Those are really eye-opening, because that's people, because A, they're getting their check. So they're generally, but they're honest as could be. And I love it. So it's really getting to read those, because that's the best picture for me. I mean, dollars going out. Yeah, my attorneys are doing a great job of settling cases. So, but I want to hear from our clients. I want to hear how their experience was. And it's tracked by each individual attorney and their team. So it's like, I can identify, okay, is attorney A had a terrible May? Let's go find out what was happening in the month of May, why their surveys were bad compared to April and compared to March. You know, did attorney B have a great May? You know, so clearly they've, you know, righted the ship. So getting to hear from our clients, and that's a very personal experience for them to get to share those, you know, share those thoughts, because they're told, they're like, hey, the managing partner is going to look at these, you know, he's going to be able to review these, see what your notes are, see, you know, what your thoughts are. I've actually called clients based on those before and just said, hey, I looked at the survey and I see there's some things that you weren't happy about. Talk me through it. Tell me why. So I think that's a KPI. If you're not someone running a law firm or running a fast food business or, you know, running any other thing, if you're not hearing from your customers, you're missing the mark. That's who's the boy. You've got to hear internally, but you got to hear externally from the people you're serving. And you want the good, the bad, and the ugly, you know, because if you only, you know, get the good ones, you're never going to understand where your shortcomings are, where are ways you can improve, you know, to make yourself better. And that's what we're constantly trying to do. What can we do to continually strive on a daily basis to help our team within this building and to help our clients, you know, to help them be able to get the best recovery.
The customer experience is such a powerful thing. Our whole team read a book that I gave them called Never Lose a Customer Again. It's Joey Coleman, who's actually been on the podcast. It's such a great framework to walk through, I think, for any business to really think about that. And even in, when he was a guest on the podcast, he did talk about this idea of law firms notoriously not looking at that. And it is such an incredibly powerful thing, I think, particularly for law firms, just because you are wanting the people that walk out the door to be your greatest advocates. So understanding what they've been through and how that experience, you know, how they experienced it is such a valuable piece of information, whether it's good, bad, or just meh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've learned some of the most valuable things through these reports and talking to, you know, clients as to what was good, what was bad. Just getting to know them as people. And you hit the nail on the head. We can run 100 TV commercials, but if you get, you know, a client, one client out there who just had a terrible experience, it just takes away any positivity of any of those TV commercials. So they are your absolutely walking billboards, you know, and you want them to walk out going, you know, hey, I was treated like I was family. I understood how the process worked. I understood the why. You know, the way society is, we all see it. People talk about, you know, the hot McDonald's coffee case from, you know, 30 years ago. So, and we do it. I'm sure, you know, where you are, Jason, you know, we're flashing some of our best settlements or best verdicts on TV. Well, the typical case isn't worth $1 million or $500,000. It may be worth $20,000 or $25,000. And being able to educate and have those heart-to-heart conversations with a client to say, yeah, hey, here's, we got this offer recently, and here's why we think it's a good offer, or it's in the ballpark of what it should be. And they're like, well, your commercial said this. Those are conversations I love, you know, because it's getting to talk them through and say, I understand that, but here's the why. Here's the why behind why your case is worth this. You know, here was the why, because those cases were worth that. And I'm glad yours is only worth $20,000 and isn't worth, you know, $500,000.
Yeah. Hey, a couple more questions before we wrap up. You all made the decision to partner with Synergy for healthcare lien resolution. How have you seen that partnership, if it has, streamline operations or help your operations, and what benefits have you ultimately seen for your clients?
I'm so happy. And this is actually one of the other partners who discovered Synergy. Mark discovered you all and then came to me and shared with me. And you all have been amazing. I mean, you all are miracle workers. What you're able to do with health insurance liens, and I laugh, I'm on your email thread. So like, I think Monday I got the report from showing what all y'all did in May, just nationwide for all your clients, and just the amount of money that you're able to get insurance companies to either waive or reduce is just amazing. So it has absolutely helped us on cases to where clients were upside down because we'd gotten the policy limits, but it was an ERISA plan, and you all were able to battle through that on our behalf. So it has saved our clients hundreds of thousands of dollars. And it's just made it so much easier when it comes to those just extraordinary cases to be able to move them forward much more quickly, too. You know, it's allowed you all as the experts to battle, you know, on our behalf. And I can remember we did one last month and we're able to explain to the client what y'all did. And he ended up got substantially more money in his pocket because of the efforts you all did versus if we did it. And he was so thankful and appreciative of that. So you all have been an amazing partner with us. And I look forward to us working with you guys for years to come, continuing to help our clients. Because I could tell you and I talking, you want to help the clients be able to get as much as they can. Our job is to be able to help the clients get as much as they can, battle for them. So we're both fighting for the clients. And it's nice when we're both, you know, fighting big insurance is how we refer to it, fighting big insurance to be able to help, you know, Joe Citizen get the money they deserve from it.
Absolutely. Say our mission is completely aligned. And, you know, even the way we built our teams, the teams are financially incentivized to get the best possible result in addition to the mission. So it's all aligned around that. Because for me, that's what's meaningful, is knowing that we are protecting those people. Because having negotiated my own lien, I know what that process is, and I know it's meaningful. Every dollar that is saved is a dollar that goes into the injured party or their family's pockets, you know, and that should be where those dollars sit, not in the pockets of an ERISA plan or even the government. I know the government's entitled to money, but you know, the person that's been injured has suffered. That there's a reason those dollars flow, and I learned that personally very well. And I want to see our team do everything they possibly can, just like your team has done, to get that money, to get them every cent that they are entitled to.
Yep. No, I love it. You all do amazing work. I mean, I can't say that enough. From our experiences we've had with you since we started earlier this year, I mean, you all have truly been miracle workers with how you've saved just, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars for our clients.
Glad to hear that. Last question, and I always ask this more of an open-ended so that you can talk about anything you want in wrapping up. What's your view as a trial lawyer? So again, You can say whatever you want. It's open mic now for you.
Yeah, it's funny. We have a weekly Monday radio show. And so we had a caller Monday and that I was hosting the show. And I said, I wouldn't trade our civil justice system for anything in the world. I think we have the best civil justice system. It is far from perfect. You know, it's got its ups, it's got its downs. There's times, there's cases that, you know, in my 30 years, knock on wood, I've never lost a jury trial. But, you know, there's times I would have liked to have gotten more, the jury to award a client more, and I thought they did. So you still, there's always times you scratch your head walking out of a courtroom. But the system itself, in that you, in Mississippi, I'll use our rules, that you get to go to the county where you had the accident, or it's the county where the defendant resides, and it's a jury of people that listens to the evidence, and it's not unanimous. That's one big thing you have to educate people, is you don't need a unanimous verdict in Mississippi on a civil case. I wouldn't trade. And I think, you know, super majority of the time, the juries get it, you know, get it right. And if they get it wrong, you get to go to the appellate courts. Sometimes that's a little more challenging, depending on the political leanings of the appellate court, even though they're, you know, nonpartisan and they're elected in Mississippi. But I think overall, you know, people see crazy numbers that are out there, really high numbers. And so one part of the society just reacts and says, oh my gosh, it's jackpot justice and the system's out of control. You know, but then I also see verdicts all the time from friends of mine who are in there, especially medical malpractice cases and other cases like that, where they get zeroed out, where unfortunately it's a defense verdict, and no one ever sees that. So I think it ends up generally being a balance. And people don't understand, trial judges have so much authority. They can reduce an award. They can add to an award. There's summary judgment. I mean, there's just so many tools out there. And that all gets back to education. It's easy for someone to scream about the McDonald's hot coffee case. Well, if you ask the vast majority of the American people, they don't realize, A, the whole facts, the facts of that case, and B, that the award was significantly reduced in the end. It was like they saw that documentary, but as Paul Harvey says, they never told the rest of the story, you know, and so it just got something that unfortunately created some hysteria within, you know, the United States, which has negatively impacted citizens. Like, we have caps in Mississippi. It just is a drag. It's an anchor on cases, and unfortunately, you know, allows businesses and insurance companies a lot of times not to have to pay the true value of the case because we have that $1 million cap, you know, in, you know, non-economic damages. In a normal case, it's a $500,000 cap in a medical malpractice case on non-economic damages. So, you know, people just don't see the big story. So I think as trial lawyers, it's our job when we are talking to clients, and I think even talking defense lawyers, because I think, as you probably have, if you truly talk to a defense lawyer off the, you know, off to the side and you've gotten to know them, most of them are not fans of tort reform. It negatively impacted the defense bar in Mississippi much, you know, much more than the plaintiff's bar. I mean, defense firms went out of business, shrunk considerably. You know, insurance companies hired some in-house counsel because they didn't need all these other attorneys they were dealing with. But it's all about education and not letting the hysteria actually win out over the facts. That's the key. We can never let the hysteria win out over the facts. And most people, if you ask, they're going to want their fair opportunity to present their case and get what they're entitled to under the law. And so the fact that there's just immediately ceilings on a lot of cases, people don't understand that. And unfortunately, it just doesn't allow people to recover at times what they rightfully should recover under the law.
Amen. Yeah, it's, you know, until it happens to you, you know, tort reform sounds like, well, that sounds reasonable as a business owner, but man, yeah, if it's you or if it's your child or your parent, you know, I mean, I think, you know, unfortunately, the legislators, you know, they, I've seen those anecdotal stories where they regret the tort reform when they figure out it impacts their family too, you know, because that's when this all becomes personal. That's why it's personal injury, you know, when it's about you or your family and you can't recover because of an arbitrary cap. And that's lost on, I think, a lot of people that just don't really understand what that means when it's, you know, an elderly person or, you know, just a non-wage earner, those types of those, and, you know, non-economic damages caps is, it's just, it can be brutal in those situations.
Yeah, it's brutal. Like, and ours hasn't changed in 20 years. I mean, it's the same today as it was 20 years ago. Well, guess what? Gas costs more, you know, a hamburger costs more. So it, you know, it'd be nice if they could at least tie it to some version of inflation, just because dollars don't go as far as they used to today as they did 20 years ago. And, but it's hard to put that genie back in the bottle when the legislature has, you know, let it out, because we've been fighting that fight for two decades now in Mississippi, and unfortunately, you know, just aren't getting anywhere.
Oh, Patrick, so if any of our listeners want to get in touch with you, they've got a case they want to refer to you because it's a Mississippi-based case or just want to pick your brain, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can always visit the website, www.onecall.ms. Of course, phone number, 601-988-8888. This is my running joke. I'm, of the 150 people who we have at the firm, I'm the only one named Patrick. So if you remember that, you're going to get to me. So I'm the only Patrick at the law firm. So you can always reach out to me there. Happy to talk, to answer questions about anything. And just if it's an area that we don't handle, and I've got a wonderful referral, you know, practice here in Mississippi and have great attorneys that I know that do X, Y, and Z that we don't do. So even if it's not a case we handle, I'll be happy to pass on a name to you, because at the end of the day, you know, you want somebody who's been injured or may have an employment discrimination case, which we don't do, or something different of that nature, just to have the opportunity to talk to somebody who can educate them and may be able to take that case and represent them to help them try to get the justice they deserve.
We'll include the contact information in the show notes for today's episode. Yep. Patrick, it's a pleasure having you. Thank you for taking the time to do this today. And we'll see everybody on the next episode of Trial Lawyer View.
Thank you for tuning in to Trial Lawyer View. We hope you enjoyed today's discussion and encourage you to tune in to our next episode for more helpful insights about your practice. This podcast is brought to you by Synergy Settlement Services. Visit synergysettlements.com to learn more about how we allow trial lawyers to focus on what they do best.